you know, we've been looking at the series, the seven C's of God's history, and I have really enjoyed the study. I felt like it's been informative. I've got a lot of good feedback from it, and I enjoy doing series and sharing with you. And you know, just a quick recap. Hey, we're a little bit ahead this morning. I got a little earlier start. Praise the Lord. Now I can recap a little bit and kind of segue into my message. But you know, we started with, obviously, with the creation. There's the seven C's right there, creation. Aren't you glad we know where we come from? Aren't you glad we're here for a reason? It was all part of God's plan. Then there was corruption. Just a little bit after that, in Genesis chapter 3, man became corrupted. Sin entered in. Man sinned, and so because of that, remember, we all have a sin nature. That we sin because we have a sin nature, and Jesus came to say, well, we'll get to that. The catastrophe, what was that? That was the flood. And man just continually became more evil and more wicked till the Bible says in Genesis 6 that the imaginations of men was continually evil. And so God looked out and he found a guy named Noah, remember? And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God told Noah about the ark, and he built the ark, and the catastrophe came of judgment, and all those people were lost, but Noah and his family were saved. Then there was confusion. So sometime later, what was the confusion? That was the Tower of Babel. Man decided what? That he could build a tower that could reach heaven, but we can never build and do enough to ever reach heaven, right? It only comes through Christ. So God confused the people with the languages, and the nations were born. Then Christ came. God looked down. And remember what we learned now. This is important. Christ was not plan B. Things didn't get so out of control that God said, well, it's so bad, I never thought it would get this bad. I'm going to have to send my son to die for him. This was not plan B. Didn't take God by surprise from the foundation of the world. Genesis 3:15, from the very beginning, God had a plan to send his son into this world to be the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for redemption of all of mankind. On the cross, the next one. That's the sixth C. We looked at that last Sunday. We could talk about the cross on and on and on. And then the last one. We're at the last C of the seven C's of God's history, and that is the consummation. Now, the word consummation is from consummate, which means to bring to completion or perfection. Think about that. To bring to completion or perfection. Or to achieve. To achieve what? To achieve God's plan. God always had a plan from the very beginning. When he created Adam and Eve, their sin did not take him by surprise. Nothing ever takes God by surprise. Wouldn't it be terrible if we served a God who could be caught off guard? I mean, you just can't catch God off guard because he knows everything. Knows it from the beginning to the very end and back. He knows it all. So consummation, that's what we want to look at today. There we go. We got that already. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Now, you know, I thought there's so many ways I could have preached this. We could have looked at the coming of Christ. We could have looked at the great white throne judgment. We could have talked about judgment. I thought about preaching from 2 Peter, and he talks about the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And then he says, but then there'll be a new heaven and a new... I thought about preaching from that. I mean, there was just so many ways to preach this consummation. But what I want to preach on today, and this just really blessed my heart, just even preparing this, is heaven. Isn't that the ultimate consummation? I mean... And you know, some people, they look at this world and some people will say, you know, you talk to folks and they'll say, well, I believe this is hell. Well, I got news for you. It's not. Right. It's not. Right. And some people will say, well, this is the best it gets. This is all there is. This is it. No, that's no truer than the first statement. This is not heaven and this is not hell. But you know what this is? This is a getting ready place. And I look at this world, I mean, you look at the world we live in today. I mean, we are filled with a world that is in turmoil. Everywhere you look, strife, life and hurting. This is not heaven. You know, when, as a preacher, we talk, you know, sometimes, and I said this in the revival. I said, it's, you know, we preach to hurting people. If you preach on the subject of hurting, you'll preach to more people than you will if you preach on joy, because hurting is more applicable. I mean, people are hurting, right? Because we're in battles. We're facing diseases. We're facing problems and all of this. I'm glad, you know, I don't want this to be a downer. I just want to tell you that we have so much more in Christ. This is not heaven. We live in a world that, you know, people just walk up to somebody and yank them out of a car and just kick them and hit them and beat the tar out of them for no reason whatsoever. We live in a world that has gotten to the place where the Lord said it would get to, where, you know, men's hearts are cold, where, you know, there seems to be no natural affection in people, and just so much wickedness and evil. You know, we live in a world where you got to be careful when you stop at a red light not to look over next door, because they might be sitting there looking at you, waiting for you to look at them and go, "What are you looking at?" You know? I mean, people are on edge. This is not heaven. We live in a world filled with chemotherapy and cancer and brain tumors and child molestation and sickness and hurting and diabetes and severed limbs and all of this. And I want to tell you, this is not heaven. But I'm telling you, there is a place called heaven. And all of God's redeemed will one day enter that place. And thank God, when the church comes in, I want to tell you, the angels are going to step back. Hallelujah. And the church that's made herself white in the blood of the Lamb is going to enter into that city. Hallelujah. There is a place called heaven. And for those that are saved, washed in the blood, we're going. Woo! Praise the Lord. That is good news. Well, I'm going to try and stick to my message here, because I'm off. Yeah, it is. Let's look at this. Now, I got to bring in the consummation, because I've done this for 6 weeks and we got to wrap it up. I just soon take off preaching, but let me just give this. In Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. It all got corrupted. It all got messed up. Revelation 21:1, look what it says. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there was no more sea." There's going to be a permanent one. Well, I'll get to that too. Revelation 1:16, the sun was created. Genesis 1:16. In Revelation 21:23, no need for the sun. You know why? Let's read it. No need for a sun in that place. In verse 23 in Revelation 21, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Praise the Lord. Genesis 1:5, God makes day and he makes night. Night is established. Revelation 22:5 says this: "There shall be no more night there." Hey, there's not even going to be a dark place in heaven. Can you imagine? Praise the Lord. Genesis 3:14-17, we're not going to read. The curse came. We talked about that. In Genesis 3:14, so I'm all messed up. Revelation 22:3, "And there shall be no more curse." Right? The curse is lived. The curse of sin, the sin nature. Genesis 3:19, death enters history. Yeah. Death came. Oh, listen. Revelation 21:4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be" what? Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm going to a place where there's not going to be any funeral parlors. There won't be any undertakers. There won't be any graveyards. There won't be any granite tombstones. There won't be any death whatsoever. Death will be a stranger in that city. Praise the Lord. Genesis 3:24, man's driven from paradise. Revelation 22:14 says that, I got to get over there. Lost my place. Paradise restored, I know that. Paradise restored. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they have the right in the tree of life." See, the paradise is restored. There's a tree of life there. Genesis 3:17, sorrow and pain began. I read to you, no more tears there in Revelation 21:4. Don't you look forward to going to heaven? Let's get a song. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just getting started. Man, I'm telling you, I am looking forward to heaven. I'm all scattered up here. Pray for me. I'm all messed up. What I want to give you in preaching this consummation message is, I try to make it simple, you know, but I couldn't narrow it down to 3 points today. There's so much to tell you about heaven, you know. Amen. You know, when you get ready to go on vacation, we're good about getting, you know, going online and searching it out. And, you know, you might even get a brochure and, you know, you got to make plans and get ready, all that. Aren't you glad we've got a brochure about heaven? I mean, we got a brochure about life, but thank God we got a brochure about that great city that God has building for us. Hey, let me just give you 10 facts. If I spend 2 minutes apiece on them, that's 20 minutes, okay? So stay with 2 or 3 minutes apiece. I'm going to be quick. Heaven is a real place. John said in Revelation 21:1, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven is not some, you know, Alice in Wonderland fabled story that somebody wrote to make us feel good and hope that just by chance there might be something over on the other side. Let me tell you something. Heaven is a real place. John, who said in 1 John chapter 1, he said, we have handled the word of life. We have seen him. We have touched him. Our eyes have beheld him. The same guy that said that about Jesus says to you and I saw new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Hey, I'm glad it is a real city. It is a real place where real people like you and me are going to go there. It's real. It's not a fable, church. It's not a fable. I want you to get that today. Heaven is a real place. John saw it and he wrote down all these wonderful things about this place called heaven. Number two, heaven is a remaining place. Now, you know what that means, right? What did he say? The new heaven for the first heaven and the first earth pass away. Let me just camp here for just a minute. Because think about that. Heaven is a remaining. It's not only real. It's going to remain. Amen. Do you know? Do you understand? That everything in this life is temporary. Everything we see, we spend our time with, you know, pursuing new cars and, you know, working on new homes and keeping our homes nice, which we should, and so many earthly pursuits. But I want to tell you, everything in this life is just temporary. Cities are temporary. Recall 9/11. Recall that 2001 when these magnificent structures that seemingly would never go away in a matter of minutes were destroyed. That's the way life is. But I'm telling you, thank God, we're going to a place that is a remaining place. Heaven will never fade away. There'll be no rust in heaven. There'll be no rot in heaven. There'll be no decay in that place called heaven. And we're going to a place that is built to last throughout all of eternity. You know what else? Even these bodies, I got to read this to you. This come to my mind. Even these bodies are temporary. Amen. Well, the older we get, the older we get. Help me out, church. The older we get, the more we realize it. Right? We get up in the morning. It takes me a few minutes to get my back going now. Woo, I get up and got to stretch a little bit and move around. You know, because it baldness, bifocals, bulges, and bunions, right? These old bodies are going to wear out. And Paul said it like this. He said, but we do not lose heart. Even though this outward man is perishing day by day, yet the inward man is renewed. Hallelujah. This old tent we're living in, one day I'm going to lay it down. But I'm glad I got a soul, thank God forever, that's going to remain in that city. Amen. Heaven is a remaining place. Woo! Praise the Lord. No decay. No old age. Say, preacher, how is everybody going to be in heaven? I don't know. I think I'm going to be in the prime of my life. Yeah, what's that? I don't know. Maybe 30. I don't know. I don't care. All I know is when I get there, I'm going to get a body that'll never get diseased anymore, that'll never get ache or pain anymore, that'll never have a backache, never need a surgery, never get a bad diagnosis, never get a tumor, never have any treatment for it. Hallelujah. We're going to that place called heaven. It's a real place. This is not a fable. It's a remaining place. It's going to be around for all of eternity. It is a ready place. You know, I've had a lot of weddings in my lifetime. And, you know, I've had some where, even at this church, I have, well, let me read that. What is it? Verse 2, it said, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. I've had a lot of weddings. Sometimes I leave this place here, and I walk in the back, and I go, are you ready yet? To the bride. She's back there. I've never had to ask the groom that. Not one time have I ever. Have you ever? The groom is always standing up here going, wonder where she's at. She's back there, right? You know? Because you know what the bride is doing. The bride is in the back. And, you know, she's taking such great pains to get that beautiful white dress. Woo! Oh, she's went and got her nails done and her hair fixed up. And she's primping and prepping and... It don't take guys that long to get pretty. But oh, she's just working on herself and doing all this stuff. But I'll tell you what. Finally, when she makes her appearance at the back door there, I'll say, you hear that music begin. And I'll say, all rise. And all eyes turn to the bride as she makes her way in. She's been preparing for this moment to be handed to the groom that she's going to marry. And I want to tell you, Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, I want to tell you, can you imagine the beauty of heaven today? I can't even imagine. How beautiful heaven must be. No wonder that song says, how beautiful heaven must be. Amen? Amen. Hey, listen. Like the little girl, she was blind and about the age of 10. You know, she was 10 years old. And mama would do her best to describe what a rose looked like and what a blooming tree looked like and the rolling meadows of a hillside. And she'd do her best to describe to her little girl the beauty that this world contains. And there is a lot. And one day it was found out there was an operation that could make this little girl's eyes see. And so she had the operation. And time came and they took the bandages off her eyes. And she opened her eyes. And she could see. And on the way home that day, as they drove home, she said, Mama, she said, why didn't you tell me that this was so beautiful? She said, honey, I tried, but the words I couldn't find. Let me tell you, the half has not been told. The Bible said, eye has not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for those that love him. Oh, listen, church. Heaven's a ready place, and Jesus is there preparing that place for us. We was at a picnic one time. My dad was telling me, Lester was standing there, and he said he's looking up at that blue sky, and Lester said, look how beautiful that blue sky is. And my dad said, yeah. He said, can you imagine what the other side looks like? Can you imagine? See, heaven's a ready place. Jesus is ready. Heaven is a place of relationship. Look in 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Heaven is a place of relationships. And I want to tell you something, church. Let's look at it this way first. When we get to heaven, do you realize, I don't know exactly how it's going to be. One of these days, faith is going to become sight. And we're going to enter into that place called heaven. And when we get there, I don't know who I would see first. Most likely Jesus. I'll get to him in a minute. But can you imagine some of the loved ones that you've told goodbye to down here? And when, listen, I want to tell you, it might take you, some of you live in from West Virginia, Kentucky, and you say, oh, it takes about 5 or 6 hours to drive home. Let me tell you something, heaven's just the close of your eyes away to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And when you get there, can you imagine your old grandpa, your grandma, or mom and dad walking over to you and saying, I've been waiting for you. Woo! Can you imagine reunion when we get to heaven? It's a place of relationship. You say, preacher, am I going to know him? Yes, you're going to know him. You're going to know grandpa. You're going to know grandma. You're going to know dad. You're going to know mom. You're going to know your child if they've gone before you. You're going to know your spouse. You're going to know them who went on in the Lord. But you know the greatest relationship of all. Heaven's a place of relationships. And the greatest, boy, don't that make you want to know that you're going to heaven? The greatest relationship that we'll ever have when we get to heaven is that God will be in the midst of us. Oh, I don't know. Perhaps in this city you can see the throne from any advantage. You might walk down to the Crystal River and you can see the throne. Or you might go over to some meadow or something over here. I don't know. And you might sit down with some other folks. But you can always see the throne. Won't that be a comfort in sight to know that God is in the midst? You see, remember in creation, the first sea, God created man as crown in creation. And he created him to what? Have fellowship with him. Created him to come down in the cool of the day and to walk with him and to talk with him. And to spend time with him. And that was severed by sin. But there the curse will be lifted. And that relationship with God Almighty. And the Lamb. Listen, will be one that is unfettered. Unhinged. Unbroken. Hallelujah. And you know something? For all of eternity there will be one thing made by man in heaven. You know what that'll be? You know, don't you? The scars in the hands of Jesus. And throughout eternity, you and I will be reminded of why we made it to heaven. We'll be reminded that, listen, this property in heaven was purchased for us at Calvary. And he paid the price with his very own life. And all through eternity, we'll be reminded because of those nail scars. We had a relationship with him. And so now we can spend all of eternity with him as well. I believe it, church. Thank God. Hallelujah. Heaven is a place of relationships, and that is the most important thing with the one with Jesus. And those others we'll meet when we get to heaven is a place of relief. Well, I read it, but let's look at it again. Revelation 21, 4 and 5. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow and crying, no more pain. Oh, listen, there'll be no pain shots in heaven. Won't be any pain pills in heaven. Nothing like that. All the former things have passed away. Verse 5, he says, he that sits on the throne says, behold, I make all things new. Oh, listen, it's a place of relief. Amen. You get homesick down here sometimes, don't you? It's like a little girl. She was going to spend her first night away from mom and dad. She was 5 years old, and she was going to spend the night with one of her friends, and during the daytime, they were playing, having fun, and it came night, and she began to realize that mommy and daddy were nowhere in sight, and she began to get fearful and apprehension, and the mother, little girl, she realized, and she said, honey, are you getting homesick? She said, no. She said, I'm getting here sick. I'm getting here sick. I want to go home. Hey, you know, sometimes when you're a young Christian, you don't understand that. I'm telling you, listen, the closer you get, the more it looks like home. No wonder John would say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Squire Parson said it like this. I'm kind of home, sick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye.
will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, praise the Lord, sweet Beulah land, a place of relief. Can you imagine? Never a battle with the devil again. Never temptation will come your way. And no sickness. No, you'll never even say the wrong thing. I want to tell you, heaven is going to be a place of complete and utter relief. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's move on. In heaven, all electronic pieces will work just perfectly. Heaven is a place of relief. Heaven is a place of refreshing. All right, we got it. Heaven is a place of refreshing. Verse 6, 21, chapter 20. It is done. I am Alpha Omega, beginning and end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. It is a place of refreshing. Is there anything better than when you're real thirsty than a cold glass of water? I don't think so. Most people like water when they're thirsty. But you know, I remember back in early 1981 in my life when I was a lost man. My wife was lost. We didn't know that much about the Lord. I remember there was something missing in my life. I remember there was a void in my life, and I kept trying to put things in there to find that refreshing, that what I needed. But every time I tried something, it worked for just maybe a little while, and then it would wear off. And I'd be back to the same place where I didn't have anything of joy in this life. But I want to tell you, my mom and dad got saved, and they began to pray for me. And the most miserable time of my life was after they got saved and before I got saved. Because what I know now that what I didn't know then was that I was under conviction. And I was so miserable from the way I was living, but I didn't know any better. And I want to tell you something. I went to a church on a Sunday morning, October 11th, in 1981. And I listened to the preacher preach. And I didn't really know what he was talking about. All I did know was that what he was talking about is what I needed. And I want to tell you, Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come unto me and drink. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to tell you, he didn't lie then. Amen. Hey, if you get a drink of that water, the things of the world will never satisfy you again. You won't want them. But I want to tell you, he didn't lie to me then, and he's not lying to me now. And one of these days in heaven, I'm going to get a drink from the crystal river of water running from the throne of God. And I want to tell you, that'll be the greatest drink of water I've had since October 11th, 1981. It's refreshing. I got to stay in the middle. Some of the new folks are in the spit zone. I got to stay right in the middle here. Don't want to give them a bad impression. He's scaring children and spitting on the newcomers. Woo, it must have been a good service. It's a place of refreshing. It's a place of riches. You think about it. The description that John gives us is walls of jasper, streets of pure gold, gates of pearl. Not made out of pearls, but one big pearl is the way it's... I mean... All of these things down here, men will kill each other for. Gold and pearls and jaspers and sardic stones and all of these precious stones that the gates are made out of and the foundation of this city. But that's not what is going to make us rich. Right? How many know? How many know that you can enjoy the riches of Christ now? How many know that there's real assurance and joy and hope? Things this world can't give you. It's like walking into the mall, you know. You walk into the mall and you walk to one of them boards and it says, you are here, but boy, look at all this that's available to you. When you come to Christ, it's like, all right, you're here, but look at all that's available in Jesus. And that which we enjoy here, the joy and the fellowship and when God just opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing on His church every now and then and just gives us a taste of what heaven's going to be like. You know that? I was, you know, I come back from the revival and everybody's telling me that Sunday, well, what a barn burner you had. Boy, those are just a taste. God just says, all right, let's give them a little bit this morning, just a drop. Woo! And man, I want to tell you, there's nothing like it. But when we get to heaven, the riches won't come because we're walking on gold and looking at gates of pearl and the foundations. Listen, the riches are going to come because joy and joy like we've never known. Unhindered. I mean unhinged joy. I mean, folks that don't shout down here, I'm telling you. Oh, listen. When you get to heaven, you're going to... Ooh, glory! Hey, I want to tell you, you know why? Because it's going to be unfettered joy like nothing you've ever experienced before. That's why we're going to be rich. The riches of joy and hope. And notice, it's a place of righteousness. Church, listen. There will be no sin in heaven. No sin. The curse is lifted. There's no need to have a curse because sin will not enter there. Death will be a stranger. Sin will be a stranger. No sin in heaven. God's throne is in the midst. And where God resides, there is no unrighteousness. So it's a place of righteousness. It's a place of refuge. John talks about this wall. We've heard a lot about a wall recently, haven't we? You know? We've heard a lot about a wall and who's going to pay for it. You know what? That wall around Jerusalem is not to keep people out. That is our sense of security with the throne in the midst. And this wall has been paid for by Jesus Christ and His blood at Calvary. And inside that wall, church, listen to me. All of us, whether we're black, brown, Caucasian, yellow, it doesn't matter what, where you came from. Doesn't matter who you was born to. All that matters is that you was born again. Amen. Amen. And if you've been born again, don't matter the color of your skin or the nationality of your race, all that matters is that you and I are going to stand out before the throne of God and we will enjoy the refuge of a city that will never be destroyed or decayed. Refuge, hallelujah. All right. I have to get this in because heaven is a restricted place. You say, what do you mean? Well, in Revelation 21, verse 8, he says this in Revelation 21, 8. I want to read it to you. He says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of and the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I've told you about some things that won't enter that city. Death and sickness. Aren't you glad that there'll be no time keeping in heaven? We won't need Seiko or Timex in heaven. If I get raptured out of here, and you don't, you have my permission to have my watch because it'll be laying right here. Hello? I like it, but I won't need it in heaven. You see, there's some things that won't be there. And then John, in the midst of all this joy and all that he sees, he tells us there are some restrictions on people who will be there. And you know, it reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul talks to the Corinthian church, and he says, you know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And he mentions some of these and some more. I'm not going to read it. But heaven is a restricted place, not only for some of these sins or these the curse side effects, but for people. But I want to end this with good news for you, because you this morning you may not have ever thought about heaven like this before. We really don't preach on heaven that much, I suppose. But boy, it's good to get some news from home every now and then, ain't it? Just get reminded what we have to look forward to. And it's good to hear. But you say, well, I never thought about it, and I don't know if I'm ready to get there. Don't panic, okay? Because I want you to get this before I close. The price of admission has already been paid on the cross of Calvary. Oh, you say, well, I've been a pretty good person. I've done a lot of good works, and I've helped a lot of people, and I've done. I'm glad. But all of that, added all together, will not pay the price of admission. There's only one price. There's only one commodity that'll pay the price of admission, and it is this: the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So I want to ask you today, has it been applied to your life? Do you know Jesus? Have you been? Let's get a song ready. Have you been to Calvary? The seven C's, ending with consummation. Remember what consummation is? Complete, full circle. In heaven, there's going to be no shadows, there won't be no secrets, there won't be no sinners. Can I tell you in closing, Christian, I started this by saying it was easier to preach to hurting people sometimes than joyful. And it is, because there is always somebody hurting on it. I'm telling you, if we took a poll, if we took the time, somebody on every pew is in a battle and they're hurting from something. That speaks to people, because we're all in that place at some time or another. But can I tell you that when you get saved, that you can start drawing on eternity now? You say, what does that mean? Because you're not just, you know, some people get saved and they say, well, you know, I'm saved, I'm just going bide my time till I go to heaven, you know, and we sing that, everybody be happy over there. I mean, I love that song, don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you, we don't have to wait till we get there. Some of you need to get that. We don't have to wait till we get there. We can start drawing on the promises of eternity now, because if we are in Christ, the Bible tells me that we know that we pass from death unto life because we love each other, the brothers and sisters. Start drawing on eternity now. Start looking at that and start applying it now, because remember what Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, present tense, and have it more abundantly. Present tense. He didn't say, I have come that you might get saved, sit in your pew, wait till you die and go to heaven. That's not what he said. Hello. I have come that you might have now possession. And more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Do you have it? Do you have it? Don't just adopt the attitude, I'm just going to sit here and wait until I go to heaven, because that's all this is about. It's not. It's about serving Him now. It's about enjoying salvation now. Amen. You can. Would you stand? Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence today. What a wonderful time that I have had just telling about heaven. Just looking at what you've told us and just expounding upon that wonderful place, that beautiful city, and those glorious promises that we have as children of God. Lord, you have already assessed us, because you know beforehand where we're at spiritually. You know if we're right and ready. You know if we've drifted. You know if our heart is not rightly motivated. You know if we're where we are. You know all. You know every person. May we be honest with ourselves today and honest with you. And if we are not ready to go to this place called heaven, may we realize that none of us have a promise of tomorrow. None of us know for sure if we'll see the sunrise. We, by faith, believe we will, but we don't know for sure. Lord, would we take that into consideration in this invitation, and may we realize how important this moment is, that we need to give you full attention and respect this moment, God. You may be speaking to someone near eternity right now. Touch our hearts, Lord. Touch Christians' hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.